Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to Irregular Bitches, the podcast for the midlife massive that's at times super sweary, always relatable, and we like to think, like having a glass of something cold and refreshing with a friend on a Friday. I'm Sarah Kaywood and my co-host and fellow Irregular Bitch is lovely Lou Mitchell. How are you, Lou?
Oh, I'm good, thank you, my love. How are you?
I'm all right. I'll let you into a secret, everybody. I literally just did a snot and swallow right in Lou's earpiece. She was like, I heard that. It was disgusting. I had that cold that everybody's had, like last week.
You are drowning, mate. You are
I'm drowning in phlegm.
This is horrible for everyone to listen to.
It's so annoying. I'm so sorry. What have you been doing? What's going on in Lululand?
Running around like a blue-assed fly. I really can't even be bothered to engage with any more thoughts than that.
Is it because you're moving?
Yeah, so moving. Getting organised. I'm quite enjoying doing that. Spending a fortune in pound stretcher on plastic boxes. But anyway, this is very dull for everyone.
Dull stuff, but life stuff. But I'm excited because I get to see you like make over a house, which is my favourite thing in the world to do. Absolutely love it. I literally was out of action last weekend and it was grim. But apart from that, in latest news, I need to let you all know that I met two of our guests IRL yesterday. In real life, in case you don't know what that means, people, I have to ask sometimes. I met Liz O'Riordan and Rosamund Dean at the same event yesterday.
Exciting.
Confirm. Sorry, brain fog. Mm-hmm. Full action today. I confirm they're both absolutely delightful and give very good hugs.
Wouldn't doubt it.
So nice. It was the launch for a company called Love Rose Lingerie, who do, you say post-surgery underwear, but actually it's just lovely underwear without underwires in. It's really, really nice. So I treated myself to a set of those. But she does, Caroline, the founder, she does make them with pockets in case you don't want to have reconstructive surgery. She does them with pockets and without pockets. And I had a proper bra fitting. And apparently I am a 32 double D.
Ooh, I know, that sounds saucy.
But they're not that massive. But I just think they know what they're talking about. But she fitted me, and this non-underwire bra looked really, really nice and really supportive. Mm. So that was really exciting. I had a day out in London at a place called Future Dreams House, which again, Lou. So this is a breast cancer charity. It's so fancy. It's like it's all calm. You walk in and there's a diffuser going with like lemongrass like wafting around in the air, and you can go for ballet lessons there and massages and group therapy sessions. They teach you how to do, if you've lost your hair through chemo, they do scarf wrapping sessions. You can go and learn how to wrap a scarf.
This is fabulous.
I know, ladies, if you are in the vicinity, Future Dreams, they are on Instagram at Future Dreams Charity. Go and check them out. They're an amazing resource for anyone who's had breast cancer or is in treatment for breast cancer. There's nothing else really like it around. And they said, are you local? I was like, well, no, I'm not. I'm in Essex. But they said, but what you should do then is come and spend the day. So book into a couple of workshops and come and spend the day. So I might do that.
Lovely.
Isn't that nice? Anyway, Lou, just before we move on to our guest today, who happens to be a fireman, you told me you had a fireman story and I want to hear it. But we're going to introduce Dan in a minute. But Lou said, can we introduce him like...
he can't be on the screen.
Okay, he's not on the screen.
I couldn't cope with him. No, okay. I couldn't have told my fireman story.
Dish it.
I mean, it's not fruity, but
I love a but.
I think it's perfectly reasonable that I have, along with many, many women. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know Sarah's going to sexually abuse him because mm-hmm. he's a fireman. Mm-hmm. I have a thing about firemen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's based on the fact that I went to a very, very little school in Norfolk. I went every day. I was a day girl, but there were boarders. There were about 100 boarders. And there were 3 boarding houses, and they were like normal old houses. So they had loads of little cupboards and loads of little staircases and loads of little dormitories. Great for hiding in. So once a year, the firemen would plan a day where, or an evening, so it was dark, mm-hmm. where they would come and they would let off smoke bombs and things. And we all had to run around and hide all over the school, and they would run around in all their gear and come and find us and carry us out of windows and stuff.
Jesus, hang on a minute.
It's what dreams are made of.
Hang on a minute, that used to happen. Was that like some sort
that
of...
That happened.
But that wasn't...
More than once.
But that wasn't, this is what you should do if there's a fire, because of course you've got to get out of a burning
building.
No,
this was them practicing getting into and out of the school.
Oh, and for like...
To check they could find everybody and where everybody might be, check they actually, could get them out of all of the windows.
Because actually...
It was an actual thing.
Because a scared child might hide in a cupboard.
Well, you know,
yeah.
I, yeah.
Oh,
who cares?
M to the effing G. That's
so. It's going to be very, very hard for me to have any kind of eye contact with Dan.
That's hilarious. I love it. Are we get?
I know.
What school was this? You've got to tell us where you went to school.
It doesn't exist anymore.
Oh, really?
No, ooh. It doesn't exist anymore.
It does in your dreams, babe.
School in... I know.
It exists in your dreams. Well, shall we move on to the real thing then, darling? Be still.
Yes, now I'm
going
to have to
heart.
Look him in the eye.
Ready?
Now.
Take a deep breath. And let's go.
Irregular
bitches.
Our guest today is a firefighter turned sleep coach, but still on beating hearts, who decided after 20 years working shifts and battling his body's natural biology that something had to give. And the first thing he tackled was his sleep, ladies, his sleep. Fast forward 4 years and now he's a qualified coach specialising in sorting out our nocturnal nightmares. Please give a very warm welcome to Dan Everson. Hello, Dan. Sleep and thrive coach extraordinaire. How are you, sweetheart? You all right?
Hello, hello. Yes, thanks so much for having me on. I'm awesome, thank you.
Should we let everybody into a secret, Lou?
What's that?
This is the third time we've tried to record, Dan. We've done 2 whole podcasts. And Dan is like, I mean, I know Dan anyway, but he is like, oh, mate, this is well-travelled ground. But it's so interesting that I'm happy to go over it again. And technology is finally on our side. So, Dan, thank you so much for your patience, please.
Thank you, Dan.
Please and thank you. You have been wonderful. Firstly, it's nice to have a boy on, isn't it? No, isn't it nice
yeah,
to have a guy
true.
On?
I think Dr. Khan's our only other boy.
I know, and I like a geezer. I especially like a geezer like Dan, not only because he's... fireman but also because he's one of the loveliest people I know. So firstly, Dan, what made you decide to train as a coach but specifically to specialize in sleep? Because you are actually still full-time watch manager in the fire service, aren't you?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'm working tonight, working the weekend nights, rubbish, but yeah, I'm still working. And you know, from all of many colleagues of mine struggle with their sleep, as did family and friends of mine, as did I for, you know, almost 20 years. And so once I understood that as being a shift worker and a new parent and having terrible sleep habits and sleep practices, when I decided that I better change this because, you know, my quality of life wasn't great and my motivation was pretty low and it affected so many areas of my life, you know, emotionally, that was my especially the one it affected more than anything. I just had to make a decision to change that. And so sleep was the first thing I changed, which led me on to this wonderful world and passionate around sleep.
Yeah, because, I mean, the thing about sleeping is, I think, I know Lou is not a great sleeper. I'm not too bad. But we accept bad sleep, as a people, don't we? Just everybody just goes, It's just one of those things. But why shouldn't we accept it, Dan? Why is it so important to get a good night's sleep?
Well, sleep, as I just mentioned with my own experience, but, you know, through the science and research as well, sleep is just impacts in so many areas of our life. They haven't yet to find a single psychological or physiological area within our brains and our body that sleep doesn't impact, whether it's, you know, poor sleep, it negatively impacts it, or better sleep, good sleep, positively impacts it. And that's why we should sleep well, because if you want to, you know, have mental clarity, be emotionally stable, be motivated, and just be a kind, decent, functioning person, then you need to sleep first.
I know if I'm going through a particularly bad phase. A bad phase to me, Dan, means about 4 hours in one chunk and then I'm done.
That is grim, Louise.
That is grim. It's not now. HRT has helped enormously. And I'm planning to, you know, take home some of your advice today. But I know if I'm on a period of having about 4 hours sleep a night for, say, more than, I'm going to say a week, but probably longer, I am an arsehole.
Oh, babe.
I am short-tempered. I am snappy. My road rage goes through the roof. And, you know, people live with it, don't they? So having access to somebody like you, you know, I've never considered.
So, Dan, what can we do? What sort of things can we do to improve our sleep hygiene? I know some of them are yes. obvious, but, you know, some people don't do these things. So hit us with them.
Yeah, you're right. No, people don't do them at all. We forget as children, don't we? Or as having children, we give them a bedtime routine or a decent crack at having a good night of sleep by ensuring that we have good sleep hygiene for the children, but we don't do it for ourselves. I'd say that the top five sleep hygiene tips would certainly be, and these are known as the big five, if you like, of sleep, is light, temperature, the one that everyone enjoys, the alcohol, drugs, and caffeine. That's sort
lots
of buried into...
Lots yeah. of drugs and alcohol. Is that what you mean, Dan?
Yeah. Take all of them. Yeah.
Oh, good. I'm doing fine. Yeah.
They all help with sleep.
Sorry, Dan.
They all help with sleep. They're brilliant for sleep. So we look at the big five, which is drugs, alcohol, caffeine, light, temperature, exercise, and routine, or a consistent routine, which is what many people struggle with. That's mostly the same bedtime and same wake time, but definitely the same wake time. Every night and every morning, and that's even at the weekends, which sounds ugly. So that's really important to do that.
Why is it important? Why is it important specifically for, I'm interested to why it's important for the same wake-up time, because that's where I think I might be going wrong. Because I like to get up really, really early, but I can't sustain it. And so some nights, some mornings it's 5:30, other mornings it'll be 8 o'clock. So I'm clearly going wrong there.
Well, yes and no. It's because... You know, your body will sleep for the amount it sleeps. Everyone has different sleep needs and your body will sleep you well, if you like. And so if you end up having 9 hours one night, 7 hours another, it's not necessarily good or bad. It's just that's what your body needs and everyone needs different sleep. But to be a consistent routine, the reason why it's so important, especially for the morning, is as soon as you wake up and start moving, eating, talking, and most importantly, get light in your eyes, it recalibrates our circadian rhythm, which is... those things that probably many people have heard of, the circadian rhythm. It is our own biological sleep-wake process, which is determined externally, mostly by light and dark cycles of the sun. So that starts a clock within our brain. We have these molecular clocks that are always... Our brain doesn't know the time of day. It knows by the sunlight and what we're doing, our activities. So it's important that as soon as we get light and we start moving around in the mornings, about 16 hours later, our brain knows to start turning the chemicals and the hormones off for the daytime and start giving us hormones and chemicals for the nighttime. That's why it's so important to wake up at the same time every morning.
Oh, I see. I tell you what, I think, because you're right about the light thing, and I would say to anybody else who struggles, because I have asked Dan off the record, like, you know, what can I do to when I'm so bleary-eyed and I just can't wake up? Because actually, even if I went to bed at 7 and got up at 5:30, I'd still really struggle, especially at the moment. And we have stupid blackout curtains in our bedroom, which really do block out every ounce of light. I think you should get one of those alarms that is basically like a massive blue light. It's, you know, as well, it's all the noise is all very well, but I need the light in my eye. And actually, one of the best things you can do, and Dan, and this proves the thing that you shouldn't go on your devices before bed, because one of the things that wakes me up the quickest is to check my phone first thing in the morning as soon as I wake up. And that must be the blue light, right?
Yeah, if it makes you feel alert and awake, then yes, it's good. Of course, the best light is the natural light from the sun. This time of year is more difficult, but you know, you sort of want thousands and thousands of lux, you know, this measurement of light, and you won't necessarily get it from a side lamp in your bedside. It might be 60, you want, and the sun's like 25,000-30,000. So you're going to want to get right. as much light as you can. Even on a cloudy day, you're still going to get thousands of lux from natural light. So when you wake up in the mornings, the more light you get through the eyes, the better, and the quicker you will feel alert. But if it's only from artificial light, LEDs, overhead lights, lights from phones, you know, again, with a wellness perspective, it's not the ideal go-to for light. But of course, it could be a lever to pull if you needed to. This time of year, lots of people I speak to use artificial lights in their rooms, like Lumi lights. And they have these lights which
are they any good?
Start to come on.
Are they any good, those Lumis?
Everyone reports how they feel differently with them because everyone's got different sensitivities to light. But the important thing is that if you want to wake up feeling refreshed and not getting dragged your ass out of bed like it's, you know, it's hell on earth, then having some natural or even artificial light enter your bedroom before you wake up, like through a Lumi or an artificial light, there are other ones on the market, then that will really help when you wake up that your brain has already gone through some processing because it's started to have some light on the skin and some light in through the eyelids, which will start to turn the cortisol up a little bit, because cortisol, that stress hormone, is great for waking us up, and that's what we get a shot of in the morning. So the quicker we can get that get on, then the easier it will be to get out of bed.
Nice.
Irregular
bitches.
So Dan, how about for people who setting an alarm means that it will go against everything that I would want to do at the weekends for most people, but if I've only had 4 hours sleep and then I do eventually get off about six, to then set an alarm for seven would be devastating. But you're saying that actually that is exactly what I need to do.
If you have not had enough sleep and to function as a human being, as a parent, as a mother, as an employee, as just somebody that wants to be the best version of themselves, if it means you have to sleep longer in order to be that, then that's what you need to do. Because this, my mission is, you know, to help people to be better versions of themselves. And if it means that you've got to sleep in till 9 or 10 o'clock because you've had a terrible night, or you've gone to bed late, or you've had hot flushes, or you've been awoken by many things, then you should ensure that that happens. If that's like once a week, that's fine. But if it's every single night or every single morning happening, then that's when you should look at the underlying causes of that and start to address it.
Irregular
bitches.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com. Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
So why is it that some people are early birds and some people are night owls?
Mother Nature. You have to thank her for that one. Sort of a bit of a random dish out. But yeah, genetic preferences for whether you're a night owl or an early bird, or whether you're neither and you're in the middle like myself, that was determined, of course, many millions of years ago, certainly through evolution, thousands of years ago, where the tribe, in order to keep the tribe safe, some people would stay up late to look after the tribe. So if everyone went to sleep at the same time, then of course the tribe would be open to lions and tigers and predators. So some would stay awake while half, you know, a third of the tribe slept, and then another load of people would be up very early in the morning, and they would look after the tribe through the early hours of the morning. So you have, they're born, you have early birds and you have night owls, and everyone's got slightly different extremes of that.
That's amazing. I did not know that.
It is.
And that, of course, makes absolute sense. And how can you tell? Like, I think I'm probably an early bird, but how can you tell if you're an early bird or a night owl?
Most people understand themselves, like, you know, they've lived enough times, many years with them, with their own bodies, to know that they are good or better in the mornings, or they're better in the afternoons or later morning. So most people can tell, but you can go online and you can do a number of different questionnaires One of the good one is called Auto MEQ, Morning and Eveningness Questionnaire. And you can do, like, you know, take 5-10 minutes, you get a score, and that will tell you what your preference is. And it's good to know that for yourself, so that you know, that's why I'm always terrible at 7 a.m, but I'm better at midday, because you have different times where you'll be more productive and more creative and more of a human than other times. And it's good to know what your kids are and what your partners are as well, because many people try and align themselves together because that makes, you know, mm-hmm. makes sense. But actually some people can be quite a way apart. Some could be one, you know, person can be an extreme morning person and their partner be an extreme night owl. And then of course, you're never going to, you know, spend much time in bed together.
I think actually Andy and I are probably, I think I'm probably a bit like you, Dan. I'm a bit of both. Did you say it was auto as in car, AUTOMEQ? Yeah.
Yes.
Auto yeah. MEQ. I'm going to do that. And I'm going to get Andy to do that as well, because I think actually, I bet, and I'm sure that you both will appreciate this, but actually that can cause some relationship issues. Because I know Andy gets really cross, like, because I can take it or leave it. But I think probably my bedtime is probably natural bedtime is about 10 o'clock, between 9 and 10. And his is probably between 8 and 9. And he will sleep longer than me as well. He needs a lot more sleep. But there, you know, he's okay with it now. But there was a time where he would be like, please come to bed at the same time as me. It's like, I really don't want to. I'm not tired and I don't want to read. I want to watch This Is Us. And he wants to go and read. And so never the twain shall meet. But doing that auto MEQ test might be a bit of an eye opener for us all. And then there's no blame, is there? It's like, it's nature made me this way, babe.
Yeah, we've had to come to terms with that in our relationship, because Duncan comes to bed really late and I naturally get up really early, so actually the amount of time that we spend in bed together sometimes can literally just be a few hours. But we stopped arguing about it when we just came to terms with it and, you know, made other choices. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll go to bed later, sometimes he'll come to bed earlier, so we just work it between us in our relationship and accept it rather than fight about it.
Irregular bitches.
And Dan, why is it when women reach mid-age, that, I mean, obviously the menopause and hot flushes have a lot to do with it, but why does sleep suddenly become an issue? Is it across both sexes? Actually, I'm interested to know. Is it just women? And obviously, I'm optimistic you will have studied this. Is it just women, and is it just hot flushes, or does sleep evolve as we get older and as we change?
Or devolve?
Devolve.
I mean, maybe you won't be happy to know, but women, of course, their sleep is more affected than men's. They are more likely and more at risk of having insomnia and other sleep conditions and sleep disorders. Yeah. And that is because, mostly because of, you know, menstrual cycles, pregnancy, perimenopause and menopausal journey. You know, there's a number of other caregiving, looking after children, the domestic, some of the concerns and worries that are normally loaded on a female, rightly or wrongly, within our culture. And so the predominantly women have worse sleep than men. So, you know, like my wife had insomnia 3 times, 3 pregnancies, 3 periods of insomnia, not great. So men do have other sleep disorders and sleep conditions, but their insomnia they're less at risk of insomnia. The hot flushes and the menopausal, sort of the start of the perimenopause, yes, that's going to increase insomnia chances and poor sleep for women through that period of time.
And the hot flushes, like when you have menopausal clients, what sort of advice do you give them? Because I suppose it's all been done. I have a fan. I have heard that separate duvets is quite useful. But have you got any extra nuggets we can give to the sleep-deprived menopausal sweaty massive, Dan? Help us, babe.
I'd say that if I was to sort of give one nugget of advice, if you like, it's the hardest of all of the nuggets, if you want to call it, for menopause, and it is that...
Love a nugget. Uh-huh. Love a nugget.
It's going to be your thinking and your cognitive reflections on your sleep and how the hot flushes and how the night sweats are affecting you, because what happens is you have a hot flush and I'm not being dismissive here, but you have a hot flush and you have a night sweat, your core temperature rises and then you wake up, because core temperature, like I said to you before with the sleep hygiene, temperature is one of the cues for sleep and for wakefulness. So when you have your temperature goes up, you wake up. That's what happens in the morning. But of course, you find that happens throughout the day, throughout the night. And so you keep on waking up. So when you wake up and you have these hot flushes, and you, what most people do with these types of experiences is they get stressed, they get concerned, they get worried, they get frustrated, they get angry, they get irritated, they get just essentially triggered. And their stress response, the fight and flight response, is a really strong trigger. And once it's triggered, you're going to be awake, you're going to struggle to fall asleep, you're going to be awake for longer. And then all that does is perpetuates it further, because your stress response becomes heightened and triggered and activated. And the more it's heightened, the more it's triggered, the more likely it is to wake you up.
That sounds spot on. It's just, it's like, it's the tossing and turning, isn't it? So you're like, this is impression of me, use your imagination, but fuck's sake, I'm hot, I've woken up, now I'm sweaty. Now I've got to go under my boobs, I've got to wipe the sweat away. Now I'm going to duvet off, fan on. Right, now I'm going to cool down. I'm going to drift off. No, fuck, I'm not going to fucking drift off.
Delighted I'm not into bed fucking, with you.
All right, mate. Fucking, I'm not going to fucking drift off. Now he's snoring. And now I'm angry. I'm angry at myself. I'm angry at my husband. I'm angry at my menopause. I'm angry. I have found, however, Dan, and you can tell me whether this is me being a good sleep and thrive human, that those apps, the Calm and the Headspace, and, you know, the Bloom, I think, is another one. There's loads of really good apps, and some of them are free. You don't have to always pay for them. But a lot of them have like a night waking meditation. And if I do put that on and do a little bit of the breathing, I can get myself back into a sleepy zone. Do I get a gold star?
Oh yeah, you get more than one. You get at least three. Yay! Three gold stars for you. And that is essential. I mean, I know I mentioned about the gold nugget, but understanding the stress response is really important for anyone who struggles with sleep, because that is what most of the time wakes people up, or at least it keeps them awake thereafter. And so relaxation therapy is a key component to anyone who's got insomnia or anyone that is struggling with their menopause and sleep. I'd say your stress response is heightened, and that is what's keeping you awake. You need to tackle that. And the way to tackle it is lots of different ways. One of the ways is relaxation. So like you just mentioned, using some sort of app, Calm and such like, they got, you know, to meditate or to have guided meditation or to do breathing exercises. And those relaxation techniques will turn their stress response down and turn the rest and digest response, you know, the calm response, up. And that's what you want to do, because sleep only happens once you're relaxed. It's not, I'm just going to try and sleep. What you should actually be doing is trying to relax, because relaxation, once that happens and that activates and triggers, that turns off the stress response, and then you can fall asleep afterwards. So I say to people, you know, that share with me these types of stories, relaxation is really key. You need to practice it throughout the day, especially in the evening. And if you wake up, practice it then, like you just mentioned, use an app, or you can just count to 50.
You should do one of those stories, Dan, because just then, when you, as you went, that will help you to calm down. I was like, oh, like, I listen to sleepcasts and I find those very relaxing. But it's funny, like, so you've told us what we need to do. Lou, do you agree with this? Like, those things are actually work. Like, I do them, but like the breathing, especially my kids, when they get themselves in a blue tizzy and I say breathe, and they don't want to, because actually it's sort of work. You have to.
I know what you mean.
Do you know, you have to concentrate on doing it. You actually have to do it. And I think that's where anybody listening who does have proper insomnia might get unstuck, is that they're just not, that you've got to put the work in.
But Sarah, I think you can find things that you enjoy that make you feel relaxed. So, for example, those Calm, they don't work for me. It's too close to work, I think, Dan. I'm a hypnotherapist. So lots of people go to sleep listening to me, believe it or not.
I would. But
I can't do that. That's work. But what I can do is listen to podcasts. So I will listen to, actually doesn't matter what the content of the podcast is, but I will listen to a podcast, and that switches my brain off within about 10, 15 minutes, and I will then switch it off and fall straight to sleep.
Is that good to do? Is she allowed to do that, Dan? Does she get a gold star?
Yeah. If it works for you, then it works for you. I'd say to people, you just, the sleep stories or the podcasts or anything you are listening to try and help you to fall asleep, yes, it may work, but essentially what it is doing is just distracting your mind from thinking enough so that you can just fall asleep. Whilst it does work, if you're finding that you need to use a distraction or a podcast or music or something similar in order to help you fall asleep, then that is going to become something you need to do more regularly, which can, not like it's going to mean dependence, but it just means that you associate a good night or falling asleep with, a podcast or a sleep story, where really you need to be able to tune into your body and just turn down that stress response by breathing or trying a number of techniques. It's not easy, because relaxation is essentially a skill. It takes practice, meditation, breathing, progressive muscle relaxation, whatever technique that you try, it all requires, practice and trying it every day. You can just do it for a minute, it can quickly become quite easy and something you can use, versus getting your phone out, putting earphones in and listening to something for 15 to 20 minutes to help you to fall asleep. It will help you, but it is essentially a distraction from your racing mind. And there's ways you can turn that down without using a device, if you like.
Irregular bitches.
I've got a Shakti mat. Do you know what? Have you heard of that? Dad, do you know what Shakti mat is?
Yeah.
Has it got lots of bumps and things in it? Yeah. Moves and things?
Yeah. And people, so I mean, I'm not a problem sleeper. I got it because I'm just quite into wellness since my cancer diagnosis. But it is, you actually, people fall asleep on them. But that really, I can't recommend it highly enough. If you can get past the first 5 minutes, they are incredibly relaxing. But people do say, get everything done, brush your teeth so that when you come off the mat, you can go straight into bed. And I do, and I find them very relaxing, which is very counterintuitive. Don't know how that works.
Non-sleep deep rest is this sort of new movement in anything that doesn't mean you're actually asleep is then becomes this deep restful state, whether it's yoga nidra, meditation, any other relaxation therapies, including a Shakti mat or a weighted blanket. They all use the same type of principles in that they have this deep touch pressure point, so it gives you the calming effect. It feels relaxing, like a cuddle or a hug, like you've been swaddled, and it's just that type of pressure that promotes relaxation, then that therefore promotes sleep. And that's why there's so many different things you out there. You haven't got to literally lay on your bed sort of hovering, meditating. You can just have a bath, or you can do a puzzle, or you can read a book, or you can lay on a mat. There's so many different things you can do to promote relaxation, and I'd recommend any of them.
Irregular bitches.
Can we talk about those sleep trackers? Lou, do you track your sleep? Have you got a Fitbit?
No, I don't know.
You
no.
don't? Okay, no. I track mine.
I can't think about it more than I do already. I need to switch
right,
off to
yeah.
it. So, no, I don't.
That's fair enough. And I think I've got a relatively healthy relationship with mine. But are they any good, Dan?
They're great for, I used them and I tracked my sleep for about 4 or 5 years and I really liked it. There's some issues around accuracy because they only really, like sleep apps or sleep trackers or wearables, most of them only measure your movement, or they measure your heart rate. And that's not always, the full picture for sleep. And so they can be inaccurate in that respect. Like, if they're tracking movement and you've got a sleep partner, then of course they're going to track the movement from that person as well. So it's important to understand that they're not always going to be accurate. That being said, they're getting better and better. And some of the wearables out there now are getting really quite sophisticated. If you're looking at the data and then modifying your lifestyle and your plans and your behaviours because of what it says on your wearable or your app, like your sleep last night was shocking, that's it. I'm calling sick. I'm not going to the gym. I'm having a 3-hour
exactly.
nap today.
I'm then obsessed. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's
not going to be helpful. So it depends on what you're using the data for. If it's just you want to make some tweaks for your sleep hygiene and therefore you're tracking to see if it's making a difference, then that's great. But if you're actually looking at it and it's negatively impacting you, what I said before about stress response, if it's causing negative thoughts, then that's only going to lead to more bad sleep.
Irregular bitches.
I'm interested to know, Dan, as well, obviously caffeine is a given. Everybody knows that drinking any caffeine after 12, if you're super susceptible, or after 3 is a no-no. But diet in general, are there any other sort of things that our listeners might not know that can really impact on your sleep?
Well, yeah, you mentioned caffeine, which is a huge wakefulness aid, and it's great for that, but it's not good on the other end of the spectrum when it's time for bed. Everyone knows it. Well, I say most people know about alcohol. Alcohol is a sedative, and sedation is not sleep. So if you are drinking alcohol close to bed, then that's a sedation state, and it's not actually sleep. And that's why you wake up a few hours later, especially with temperature increases. It's going to affect and your deep sleep and your REM sleep. And so alcohol is a sedative, and that will affect the architecture of your sleep and therefore affect the quality of your sleep. As for diets, there's, you know, usual stuff. Don't go to bed full up. Don't go to bed starving hungry, because your body will certainly wake you up for more. Like, it's primal. If it's starved, then it will start to look for food. And to look for food, it has to be awake. So it wakes you up. Let's go looking for food. So don't go to bed starving hungry. If you go to bed too full, of course, that's going to cause discomfort. And that's going to cause interruptions to sleep. As for actual foods, I say to people, if you're going to eat before bed, snacks are fine. But you want to avoid all the things that we all enjoy. Sugar, fat, and salt. They're the things you should avoid when it comes to snacks. So people are like, well, what snacks should I use? You know, anything with sort of tryptophan in. So we're talking like pulses, banana, cereals are great with milk, cheese and crackers. You know, that myth straight away, that doesn't exist. They're the types of snacks that you want to be having.
Hang on, stop. Back up. We can eat cheese before bed.
This is huge.
Is that a yes? Is that a green light on cheese before bed?
It's a green light on
That is such good news.
Sorry, Dan. Sorry, we got overexcited. We're both big fans of cheese.
We've always been told that. It gives you nightmares. I've always believed that.
This went back years and years and years, where there was some, you know, some harebrained ideas that cheese causes nightmares. And actually, that's what we know, which is still limited on nightmares and on dream states, is that it wasn't necessarily the food or the content or how it was metabolized by the body. It's more that we know how dreams, to a point, how dreams and nightmares work, and cheese is not involved.
Oh, brilliant. And wow. And does it have that tryptophan that you said was good in sleepy making foods? Does it have that in it then, cheese?
No, it doesn't have it in cheese. It has it in things like fish. Salmon is great for tryptophan and melatonin. So fishes and, like I said, some fruits. Start going into real intricacies of magnesium as well being important for sleep. Everyone's got different sensitivities and tolerances to different foods and to different supplements. And so if you're going to go down that path, then you want to try different things, small, you know, one thing at a time, and just see how it affects you. That's supplements as well, like pill forms, as well as food supplementation. But as for anything else with diet, I normally lump in with diet the drinks, like I said, alcohol and caffeine, anything sugary as well, like sugary drinks, fizzy drinks, or even sugary snacks. They're going to impact upon your weight, your sleep architecture, because sugar is going to activate the stress response as well, and that's going to keep you awake, keep you alert.
And Dan,
amazing.
Andy often complains that if he's had very vivid dreams or nightmares all night, he feels exhausted. He says, I slept really badly because I had such bad dreams, or I had so many dreams all night. Is that, I mean, I would just assume that you're asleep, so you're rested. But can nightmares and bad dreams, even though you're asleep, give you a bad night's sleep? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense, yeah. And many people find that a bad night of sleep is normally associated with, for instance, a nightmare or a night terror or a bad dream. And normally what happens is, you know, if you're tossing and turning around a lot and feeling uncomfortable because of a particular dream, even though it sounds completely contradictory, because when you're actually in REM sleep, that paralyzes your muscles. It does that so that it stops you from acting out your dreams and strangling your partner or that's snoring or, you know, kicking a cat. So
yeah,
REM sleep is designed to paralyze your muscles so that you do not move anywhere. So if you're moving around a lot, then there's a good chance that you weren't in REM sleep. Of course, there are exceptions to the rule, and there are some people that can sleep walk and sleep talk and move around when they're dreaming. But normally what happens is if you're having bad nightmares, that normally also has things like your core temperature will rise, you have a cortisol will rise, you know, like a stress response, because mm-hmm. even though it's a dream, you know, you're still imagining certain things and the brain doesn't know the difference between imagination and real life, so it can trigger you to wake up through cortisol and temperature. But dreams and nightmares are really still, much of it is unknown, and it's a lot of sort of guesswork and real basics around it. But it's just, we dream to process our emotions mostly. So that's why when you have dreams and nightmares, it's through experiences from your day, which is just trying to be processed by your brain.
Amazing. I find it fascinating. I really do. The whole dreaming thing. Do you dream a lot, Lou?
Yes. And I sleepwalk and I sleep talk.
Really?
Yes, yes. There's been periods of time where it's been really bad. I'm not in one at the moment, but oh, I did something terrible, Dan. I woke up looking at myself in the mirror.
Ah!
It was really scary.
Wow.
That's like something out of a horror
terrified.
Film.
It was. Yeah. It was. And I was young and, you know, reasonably attractive. So there was nothing actually that was frightening about the image. It was just the fact that I was staring at myself in the mirror. Yeah, it was horrible. That was fascinating, Dan.
Kirsty Allsop had to start. She famously said in an interview once that she sleeps, well, she used to sleep naked, but she had to stop sleeping naked when she was filming location, because a couple of times she slept, walked out of her hotel room and locked herself out naked in the corridor.
I've done that.
Have you?
I've done that. I didn't lock myself out. Luckily, the door, it was on a click. It was in a friend's apartment. It was on the click and we hadn't locked it when we came in. And I found myself naked outside the apartment about to ring the doorbell of the next door apartment.
Louise.
Oh, can you imagine?
No, I cannot.
And I wake up at that point and it's awful.
That's like a recurring nightmare. Dan, it's all been absolutely wonderful, your wisdom, and I hope
many nuggets.
I really hope that we've helped people. Yes, I hope that we have helped some of our menopausal midlife tribe. And where can they get hold of you if they want to have sleep consultations? How are you consumable, as it were?
Yes, Instagram is I'm on there. They can DM me. There's a link on Instagram. They can fill out a quick form, and then we can arrange to talk. Also, I could be emailed at sleepandthrive@outlook.com. And so, you know, people can reach me there and we can discuss their sleep issues.
And that's what you are on Instagram, is it? At Sleep and Thrive Coach. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, at Sleep and Thrive Coach.
Bang on.
Okay. Well, I'm going to think of you later, my fireman friend. Yeah, don't be like that, ladies. As I lay my head down after a warm bath.
Stop sexually abusing
Sarah. Sorry. Honestly, you should see his friend Gary, who comes around and like decorates as well. It's not a dud amongst them. Anyway, I digress. I'm going to think of you, Dan, later as I lay my head down after a warm bath, an iPhone amnesty and a chamomile tea. Yay me. Now, before we chip off, we managed to get the busiest lady in the UK and our irregular bitches laureate to read another one of her beautiful poems for us. And here she is with the aptly named When Your Head Hits the Pillow.
Irregular bitches.
When your head hits the pillow tonight, remember the smiles of the day, the laughter, the little wins, the warm words, and let everything else go. Put the lessons learned in a file marked done and give yourself a pat on the back for the things you got right. Leave the stresses of tomorrow where they belong, tomorrow. Leave the stresses of today where they belong too. And let the night take away the heavy weight from your shoulders. Let it go. Let yourself be safe. Let yourself be still. Let yourself be at rest. When your head hits the pillow tonight, my friend, let sleep come and let your soul be. You did enough today. We are all just doing our best, with no rule book, in a game with no referee and no half time. None of us are getting it right. We are all just winging it. We are all just as scared, all just as weary. When your head hits the pillow tonight, my friend, close your eyes and remember, you are worthy.
Oh, that's good. We love Donna. And we asked her to do a sleepy one for us, Dan. So that was why she did that. That's all from us. But thanks again to Dan at Sleep and Thrive Coach for being such a fab guest and debunking all those sleepy myths that we all know and love. And to Andy for editing, and to you guys for listening. Please do review, like, share, do all the things that will keep us bringing you tippity toppity irregular content. But until next time, Louise.
Stay cool, bitches.
I think we did it.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.